Hello, welcome to the Dear Writer podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ashley. We're two aspiring collaborative authors sharing our writing journey with you, the ups, the downs, and everything in between.
Whether you're just starting out or a more experienced writer, we hope that you'll find this podcast inspiring and thought-provoking. And here's the show.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Dear Writer. Today we are recording episode 153, and it's the second part of our episode about editing.
Yes, and just a reminder, in case you haven't had time to go out and buy our second book in the Black Sky series, The Price of Pandemonium is available now, so go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Available on Amazon.
Yes. And last time, so we spoke about why editing is important and the different types of editing. So developmental, copy editing, and proofreading. We then started to discuss our process. And this episode, we will continue that discussion in a little bit more detail. So I thought we'd just jump straight into it. And the first question I thought we could talk about is, how specifically do we look at developmental editing when we're editing our book? And is this something we do ourselves? I thought I'd give you a quick reminder about what developmental editing was, in case you can't remember from like a month ago. So like we said last episode, the definition from Masterclass is developmental editing is a phase of the book editing process where editors give a thorough evaluation of an author's work to help determine what it needs in order to be ready for publishing. This manuscript technique addresses various story element issues like plot holes, poor character development, confusing dialogue, sentence phrasing, and other issues that arise in relation to story elements. Okay, so Sarah, how do we look at developmental editing when we're editing our book?
So often when the first draft is finished, we will send it to our beta readers. So you could say we don't do the developmental edits entirely ourselves, but we don't send it to an editor for developmental edits. So once we have feedback from our beta readers, we interpret it, running through what we think needs to be changed and discussing any major issues we think might be wrong. The beta readers often don't specifically say if something is wrong, although they can have some very good suggestions, but we tend to take their feedback and work out from it what is actually missing from the book. Sometimes it can be something simple and the developmental edits aren't a giant task. Other times, like with Darkness Set Us Free, which we are editing right now, it becomes a big rewrite.
Yes. I've written down, I'm not 100% sure when we started, if we knew like how we did our editing, like that's this phase was termed developmental editing, but I feel like the function that we did basically is that. And yeah, like now knowing a lot more, like, oh yes, that's what we were doing. I was going to say, I think we have a really good benefit in that there's two of us. So when we, even if we're in really early draft phases before we've sent things to our beta readers, when we read stuff, it's like we get two sets of eyes on it. So it's kind of like we get two different perspectives on everything, which is really helpful. Obviously, our beta readers help a lot with giving us a lot of feedback in the early stage. And so also our critique group gives very early feedback too.
They're kind of like beta readers.
Kind of. Although they get it at an earlier stage. Like they get it the in-progress manuscript, kind of. So for our Ancient Greece book, they've had it. They get it like basically first draft of a chapter. Like not even the first draft of the book, the first draft-ish of a chapter. So we've been getting really, really early feedback from them, which is actually really good because they've picked up a lot of things early where I'm like, ah, yes,
I think that their feedback is a bit more targeted as well than like our beta readers are more there for, like, obviously they give very good feedback and very valuable feedback, which is not to be dismissed, but they're there more as a reader rather than a writer, where the critique group, obviously they are all writers, so they have a little bit more of an eye.
Yes. Whereas
not, our beta readers are not necessarily writers.
We've been doing a really good thing where we like ask them specific things in chapters, like for specific advice, which has been really helpful. You know, like, does this character, or like, what impression do you get of this specific character? So you can kind of test whether the way you're portraying characters hitting right, or, you know, were there any parts that you found confusing? How is the pacing in the section? So questions like that I find very helpful, because it's not always something that a beta reader, you can't really sometimes ask a beta reader for that. So I often don't 100% know.
Also, they're reading the book like all in one go.
Yes.
Rather than in chapters, as you mentioned before.
So, anyways, it's been very helpful. And even I find it's even helpful, not just the early critique, but being able to like fix your own writing from it. Like for like the next chapter, you're like, oh, yes, they like really had an issue with this. I need to make sure I, you know, avoid doing this bad habit next time. Okay, so the next question I have is, what are some tips for copy editing and proofreading if you're doing it yourself? And how do we get our manuscripts all polished? Sarah?
So this is a very almost overused phrase from Stephen King, which is murder your darlings. We are excruciatingly honest with ourselves and very, very critical to the point where I think the harshest critique we get is from ourselves. We read through and create comments about what needs to be changed before going ahead and making the changes. So I often find little snarky, sarcastic comments when I come back to edit from past Sarah in the review pane. She's pesky, I'll admit, and it does cut sometimes. She's very picky about syntax and grammar, picking up on specific things that don't flow or don't quite feel natural. And it's annoying when you read back through and make changes. But I think being this honest really helps drive us not only to produce the best quality, but also to toughen our shells a bit against other critique. Because we are so harsh with ourselves, it doesn't hurt quite so much when our editor later points something out. We're like, yep, yes, we know that's not quite right. And as for tips for proofing, I have several tips. So one, take it in manageable chunks. Don't try and proofread your entire manuscript at once, or you will lose focus and miss errors. Number two is, I often find if I'm having trouble focusing that changing the font will bring my focus back in and sometimes make it more obvious where there are errors. So just a little hint is, if you get used to one font, then change it up and make it a different font, and suddenly you'll be like, oh, the whole manuscript is fresh before my eyes. So, and number three, it's so easy, and it just like pulls your focus back and you're like, ah, now I can read this. Okay. Number three is, use editing software if you have access to it, but don't rely completely on it, because ultimately nothing beats a sharp eye.
This is true.
Number four, my last one, is read it back to yourself. Either do this yourself, or you can have a text-to-speech AI do it for you. A lot of errors can also be found this way.
That's a good one, the reading aloud. It's always amazing how many you find when you read something aloud.
Yes.
You're like, oh, an error, oh, an error, oh, an error.
You're like, oh, I tripped over that. I wonder why. Oh, hang on. It's missing a word.
I haven't yet tried the like text-to-speech AI yet.
I found that, although you have to do very small paragraphs, but I was considering almost purchasing Google's software for it, because they have just so many different accents. And I was like having like a whole lot of fun recently, just like putting like short paragraphs in. And like, unfortunately, this is the reason why I haven't brought it. They don't have New Zealand accents, which I was kind of frustrated about. They have Australian ones, but so listening to like Dylan in Australian accent was quite amusing. I quite enjoyed that, even though it's not quite right. All right, Ashley, do you have any tips?
I do. Mine are similar-ish to yours. So my first one was to, like you said, sort of do it in stages. I like, similar to you, I usually like to read through and make the most obvious changes and errors that stick out, fix errors that stick out first. And then I tend to go, like, I like to go through it multiple times. So I then like to go through looking for specific mistakes, like things I know I always muck up. So I like do a specific edit for things like that. So things like deleting my clutch words and removing adverbs and then checking for words we always spell wrong and then fixing grammar mistakes I always make. So I usually have like a couple of those in mind and I'll go through the manuscript, change all of them. And then I'll take another two in mind and then like go through it again to like clean out those systematically, which I find really helpful.
Yeah.
And then like Sarah, I do think it's really important to do a check with software like Grammarly. I tend to do it last though, as in like I've proofed it and like edited it and done as many like changes as I think I possibly can. And then I do Grammarly at the end and then find inevitably more that I've missed, but I feel like I'd removed a whole lot before. And then it also, I think,
and then I run over it.
Yeah. And then it semi minimizes some of the weird quirks that Grammarly has.
Yeah.
Which I tried to fix last time by also using Pro Writing Aid, which has different quirks. It was like quite an interesting experience because it suggests the opposite to Grammarly in some situations and like a very certain set of like what they do with commas.
I would say because Ashley has the editing software, I don't actually have any editing software. However, so Ashley will send it through with, gone through with Grammarly and stuff. And then I tend to run through it myself because I always find extra errors after it's been through Grammarly, even. There's always more. But actually, just as a tip, I found Amazon's software that they use when you upload your manuscript is actually not too bad. It actually picked up, like we thought that, I mean, we never think it's error free completely, but we thought that it was pretty good. And then it picked up like six or so errors. And I was like, what? And they're like really obvious ones as well. And like, not even, some of them were like completely just like spelled wrong words. And I'm like, why did Grammarly and stuff like not pick this up? I don't understand. I feel like some of them were things that we'd like re-edited after, but then others of them, I'm like, it should have picked that up. But anyways, so that's why I say don't rely completely on it. And when it was interesting because when I like went through to make the changes, because I had it in Scrivener, and when I went through to make the changes, I noticed that a lot of the changes were actually red underlined in Scrivener. So then I was like, oh, Scrivener's pretty good at picking these up. So then I like went through the entire document looking for the red underlined phrases and found a few more.
I feel like different software picks up different things as well. Like,
yes.
The Pro Writing Aid was really good at picking up prepositions that were used incorrectly, weirdly. And like there were a lot.
Yeah.
But that was just one thing. I was like, it's actually like quite good at this. Less good was correct use of commas. Like that was a wild, wild ride for Writing Aid.
Commas are so where one person perceives a comma should be, another person does not.
This is the same with writing software.
Yes.
Okay, so this leads really well into the next question because we've kind of touched on it. So how do we keep track of the changes we've made and ensure that everything that should be changed has been changed, in brackets, and that we've done it correctly? Sarah?
Because we do so many revisions, we use Microsoft Word and track changes. If you haven't used it before, it assigns each reviewer a color and a name so you can see who made the changes and what has been changed. I find it particularly useful because if there's something Ashley has changed that I don't feel is quite right in one of my chapters, then I can see what was originally written that she didn't like before making a third and hopefully final change. One thing I would say is if you plan to use this particular software, if you click tracking and then show all markup, You can also go into markup options, which allows you to see revisions in balloons rather than having them in line. Ashley found on her computer it defaults to inline markups, which can make it quite tricky to see errors if you have a lot of changes crowding up the document.
I should have taken a screenshot of some of them because it was hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like four to three different colors.
I feel like, you know, this is specific to Word that I'm talking about. However, I feel like it would be similar on other writing software platforms as well, is that you probably do have some sort of similar option of tracking your changes, and just be aware of your options for doing that and how that might affect visually what you see and how that might affect your editing. Because I think, you know, like when I got the document back after Ashley had made some of her edits, I'd be like, oh, the edited stuff needs to be edited because she couldn't see the wood for the trees.
All I could see was red, blue, green, and yellow lines. But it's okay. It's I will point out that we generally only use the track changes once we start the actual kind of, once we've done the developmental editing, because that would be excessive, I think.
Yes, that would be like the entire document just like completely.
Yeah, so we kind of use it more in the copy editing and proofreading stages. That when you get to the, I'm going to have the second half of the editing process, when most of what we've written is, I'm not going to say set in stone, but closer resembling what it will be in the final manuscript.
Yep.
And we do usually, between, like if I've done a proofread, Sarah will usually go through what I've done and accept or remove all the markup that I've done and then put her own markup on after, so then I can see like her changes after that and vice versa.
Yeah, and that was something to point out, is that, yeah, last time I think we put track changes on a little bit earlier than what we usually did, and so then we had a lot of markups and then we ended up getting rid of some after a couple of edits and then like restarting again because we're like, it's too much, we can't see.
I think the issue was like I did some edits and then I sent it to our proofreader and then she did the edits and then I got it back and then I was like, oh, I'll quickly go through her edits and then I did them again, so we kind of missed the we missed like Sarah's one in the middle to remove them all. So I was like, oh, I can't remove my own two sets of edits now because Sarah needs to see my edits on the edit.
Well, I think also that like if I went through and resolved a comment or like went through to try and resolve something, I wanted it to be visualized by Ashley and it would just like completely clear it out. And then I'd be like, it would look like I just randomly changed something. And so then I'd have to write a comment on the side and be like, oh, this was in response to like something that Mel had mentioned here. So there were challenges, but I feel like in general the markups do seem to help.
It does, it does. You always know the pesky bits anyways. There's like a concentrated number of markup and errors in that one little paragraph. It's usually, I think, where most of the issues came up, I'm assuming. Okay, so moving along. In our opinion, how long should it take to edit your manuscript? Sarah?
So I wrote the notes for this a little while ago, not within the last week anyways, but it's just making me laugh what I've written, which is, as Mr. Bull from Peppa Pig would say about roadworks, because my daughter is obsessed with Peppa Pig, although she is moving on to Gabby's Dollhouse, but that's another story. But anyways, it will take as long as it takes. The editing process cannot be rushed. If it's not ready, then don't be afraid to do yet another run through to make sure you are happy. There are always going to be small things that bug you. You know, if you are as perfectionist as we are, then it's hard to get it completely perfect. But I think that you can get an overall feeling from your manuscript as to whether you love to read a particular piece of work or if you feel disheartened by particular aspects. And if you aren't in love with your book, then it's going to be a hard sell. So this, my answer is edit it until you get to the point where you love to read it, even if there is the odd piece that you're like, eh, about.
I love that description of it. That's so funny. That's totally, I can even think of some passages where I'm like, nah, they're fine.
Yeah.
I've written, it takes us ages, followed by, I think it's important not to put too much of a timeline on it when you're editing, especially when you're first starting out. I feel like it's something you don't want to rush. So it's important to give it whatever time it ends up needing. I feel like the more times you've done it, the more practiced you get at it. So maybe then you can start putting more deadlines on yourself to get, you know, get the edits done. But I think in the start, especially when you're just learning a lot about the whole process, I feel like it's a good idea just to let it take, as Sarah quoted from the Peppa Pig episode, just let it take however long it's going to take. TJ's not interested in Peppa Pig. He only likes two things on television. One of them is Digger TV, which is just a whole bunch of diggers digging, and he'll watch it for half an hour, and it just tells you, look at the excavator. It's got a large bucket. Amazing. And the Wheels on the Bus Simple Songs medley for half an hour. It just says Wheels on the Bus over and over again for 30 minutes. That's it. He won't watch anything
else. Funny. Julia's, she's almost becoming too addicted to the TV. And she will be like, Duha. That's what her name for dollhouse is. And she's obsessed with the character Cat Rat on it for some reason. And we went to get some Gabby's Dollhouse stuff. And because Cat Rat is like, he's not a villain, but he's not like the happiest character on the show. It's actually really hard to get Cat Rat stuff. And we're like, oh no, it doesn't have Cat Rat. She's not going to like that. He's my favorite character, to be fair, as well. So I understand why she likes Cat Rat. It's just funny. She'll be like, I'll even pick her up from daycare and she'll be like, Cat Rat, Cat Rat, Cat Rat.
Okay, so the next question is all around paying for a professional proofreader. So do we do it? Should you do it? And what are the benefits? Sarah?
I think it is definitely worth paying for at least a proofreader, possibly developmental editing and copy editing too, depending on your process. Sometimes you can get away without certain aspects of editing if you have great beta readers and if you edit well yourself. But as a writer, it is hard to see all of the errors yourself. You become a bit conditioned to your own work and your eyes tend to jump past them. So paying for a proofreader at least ensures you will be presenting a polished work to the world. I will say if you planning on not paying for like a stylistic editor or developmental editor or copy editing, then I would definitely at least be, you know, giving it to beta readers and giving it to people who might be able to give you some decent critique. Ashley?
I definitely agree with that point. Even though we don't pay anyone to do our developmental editing, we do get a lot of input from a lot of different people on it. So I feel, and it's always been beneficial. Like, I feel like so many oddities have been picked up from that. Like, even just recently from our critique group, it wasn't even really like a critique, but for like three chapters in a row, they're running ... again. I'm like, more running. Oh, they're still running. Where are they running to? I'm like, this is okay. I get it. There's a lot of running. It needs to change. Like, you haven't specifically said it, but I'm like, yeah, I can see it. I'd say, even though, well, for the proof of getting a proofreader would be we send our proofreader a pretty polished manuscript, I would say, and they'll still come back with somewhere in the region of 600 quote unquote mistakes or suggestions of things that we could change. And it's always stuff that, because we're so enveloped in our story and our manuscript that we don't see ourselves. So a lot of she often picks up a lot of like overused sentences or like phrases that we use all the time, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the sixth or seventh time we've picked this up. Like, how did I not notice this? And sometimes sentences that don't, like, they make sense to us because we know what they're saying, but then she's like, I don't really get like why this is here or like what this is for, and you're like, yes, this is actually confusing. So stuff like that she picks up as well, which is really, really helpful. So I think if you can afford one, you should definitely invest in it. It will make your manuscript a lot more polished and excellent. And for our final little question, I thought we could offer some editing tips for you in case it's something that you struggle with. So Sarah, have you got any final editing tips to share with our listeners?
So, you know, we mentioned a few earlier, but in addition, I would say that it's incredibly helpful to read some books on the subject because you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes if you struggle, you might just need a bit more understanding on the topic. So I know there is a short guide called The Elements of Style by Strunk and White, which is commonly touted as a great, quick and informative read. And personally, my favorite editing book by far has been Dreyer's English, An Utterly Correct Guide to Clarity and Style by Benjamin Dreyer. I like it because it brings a lot of fun into what can be a very dry subject. So rather than being a list of do's and don'ts, it points out why editing for clarity is needed and why we do what we do when it comes to grammar in a very humorous way. So.
It is very humorous. I will second that.
Have you read it now?
I have read it.
It's a good
book.
Really
good. It's so good. It's lots of like grammar puns and stuff, which if you enjoy that kind of thing, it's a good read. Sarah mentioned the one that I usually recommend, which is The Elements of Style. It's super, super quick read, like an hour. And it is just, has just really good, the examples in it, like, just illustrate everything so well. You're like, oh, I see the importance of this. Or like, you know, I understand exactly why, you know, this could be a problem. So if you want something really quick, it's not as fun and interesting as the what's it called?
Dreyer's English.
Dreyer's English. I just had that utterly in my mind. That's not the title. So anyways, continue with your
tips. That was all mine.
Oh, okay. So. I had two more. So the first one was to let the manuscript sit for long enough. And I bring this up only because I've been thinking a lot about it because of Darkness at Us Free being so challenging at the moment and being such a substantial editing process. So that's something I think Sarah mentioned in the last episode, that we probably didn't do like leave it for long enough, and I think I agree with that. So I think it's important to leave it for a while so that you can be more objective to see the flaws, and you come back to it in a few months, multiple months time.
I guess we're never going to be one of those like people who like write it and quickly get it out.
No, I don't think so. It's just not our process.
No.
Which I guess is fine. My second point was to take it in stages. And once you've got your first draft, just read it through as a whole without touching anything first, so that you can write yourself some notes about all the things you need to change or don't sound right. So then you can, you know, see the whole picture before you jump in, and then you might avoid, sometimes not for Darkness It Is Free with us, but you might be able to avoid doubling up on some mistakes and having to rewrite passages more than once.
Yeah.
So those would be my suggestions. And that brings us to mistakes of the month. So Sarah, do you have any mistakes this month?
I do not, ironically, considering this is an episode about editing.
I have one. I actually had two, but I realized I wrote it down on my work laptop because that's where I found it. So we'll have to go with one for now, and the next time I can share my other one. So it's just a little mistake I found from my current Aaron chapter that I'm working on, still working on. And I discovered that I had written, I study shakily. instead of I stood shakily. And I was like, where does Y come from? Study. It kind of fits though, you know, like
Everything's better with a Y.
Study does sound like you're like uneven, like standing on uneven ground, I found. It's like, you know, a little unstable.
That's great.
So that's the only one I have this time. Alrighty, so we should probably wrap this episode up. If you'd like to apply to be on our author spotlight section, you can head on over to our website, lindersoncreations.com. Hover your mouse over the podcast tab and you'll find a drop down to be featured on Dear Writer.
Next time on Dear Writer, it's our author spotlight. So join us to hear from another great author.
Yes. And if you'd like to know more about us or any of our writing projects, you can visit us at lindersoncreations.com or get in contact with us on Facebook or Instagram under the handle Linderson Creations.
And if you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. Tell your friends about us and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Happy writing, everyone.